lurid listeners, welcome back to the Kiss Me Quicks podcast. I almost forgot which podcast I was hosting. This is your favorite sexy librarian, Rose Caraway, and today's show is going to be fabulous. I have got a poem that I'm going to be bringing your way from Fox Smulder, and then I've got a story written specially for you by Raziel Moore. First and foremost, you guys, I've got the Sexy Librarian's Big Book of Erotica for sale right now, available in Amazon and everywhere else. And I am actually fixing to get ready. Well, I guess that means they're both the same thing. If you're fixing to do something and you're getting ready, it's the same thing. Anyway, I am getting ready to send out one single book that I have, one of my editor's copies, The Sexy Librarian's Big Book of Erotica. I'm getting ready to send this book off. I'm calling it The Traveling Library, and it's going to be kind of like the Traveling Gnome, only The Traveling Library is a copy of the book that is going to be sent around to all of the participating authors to get their signatures. So I'm having one copy signed, and then it's going to be sent back to me, and then I'm going to raffle that book off and give it to a lovely, lucky, lured listener. And I'm really excited about it because what's going to happen is all the authors have agreed to take the picture, either them signing it or their face next to it, and then I'll be posting all those pictures up, on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and all those great places so that you guys can kind of see where the book is that day. So it's starting here in Sacramento, California, and then I think I'm going to send it up first to Oregon, either to Alan Dusk or Emily Bingham, and then it's going to go, it's basically going to go from West Coast to East Coast, and then it's going to jump over the Atlantic and make its way around the UK to all the authors over there, and then it's going to be coming back to me. So it's going to take probably like a month and a half, maybe 2 months, to make it all the way back to me. So I'm really excited about it. It's going to be a fun thing. I don't think anybody's done this before. And you guys know me and Big Daddy. We like to do things differently and with gusto. So it's going to be fun. I can't wait. I can't wait to see how all the signatures turn out. And then I can't wait to give it away. So look for that eventually. you can keep up to date by checking in with my Facebook. Just search Rose Caraway in Facebook. Also in the news, Big Daddy and I are both going to be heading down to a Mensa conference in Mendocino. And we're going to be giving a talk there about erotica and all the wonderful things that erotica does for people, especially audio erotica. So if you are a Mensa member, I'll look forward to seeing you guys there. It's going to be fun. And to kind of help with promoting the book and the audiobook, which, by the way, is going to be available very, very soon. I think now we're just down to pacing. Is that right, Daddy-O? We're going to give it a final listen and then send it off to Audible, right? I got a couple of things to
We'll fix. Call it final mastering.
Final mastering. Okay, so to kick off promotion for you, sexy, lurid listeners of the Kiss Me Quicks podcast, I have several of the authors that wrote stories for the book to actually send me stories specifically for the podcast so that you can kind of get a taste for their freaking quality writing. And I've already narrated them. They're already in Big Daddy's box. You have a box. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to be putting music to the, they're going to be done Stupid Fish style, and they're going to be badass. The first one is going to be by Tamsin Flowers, and it's a zombie story because we're in October and I love Halloween, and it's a pretty good story. So I'm really excited to bring the very first zombie story to the KMQ. And then there's a bunch of other stories. So I'm really looking forward to that. So we've got the Traveling Library, the talk for the Mensa convention in Mendocino, and one hell of a sexy librarian Big Book of Erotica promo that's only going to happen on the Kiss Me Quicks podcast. So it's going to be awesome. All right, you guys, I am ready to introduce the show.
Wait.
Oh, what?
You have one more day you did not mention.
I have a day. Oh, that's right. I'm doing the Litquake event. Oh, my God. It's going to be... I'm really excited about it. It's in San Francisco, October 18th from 6 to 7 p.m. And the address I will have in the show notes for you guys. It's on the website already. I've been splashing it all over Twitter. I'm going to be reading with Carol Queen, and who is somebody I have been dying to meet. And I'm also going to be reading with the author. Oh, forgive me. I can't remember her name, but I've met her at the publishing party at Brenda Knight's house. And she's awesome. She's the author of a novel called Blacklist or Black. I think it's Blacklist, My Love. So head on down to San Francisco. This falls on a Saturday. And, you know, bring a date. Oh, my God, it's going to be fun. Lots of sexy stories to be heard. It's going to be fabulous. All right, you guys, on with the show. First up, I've got a poem that's actually written and narrated by Fox Mulder. And Fox is a drag king who performs out of Minneapolis and St. Paul, book events practically anywhere, or burlesque shows, drag, erotic poetry, wherever bookings can happen. Fox is also working on an erotica anthology, which I am very curious to read, because after listening to the album, this poem that you guys are about to hear is from an album, and it's fantastic. It's really great, and I'm helping promote it here. So first up, the poem titled, What Do You Like? By Fox Smolder.
What do you like? You ask. Over the plate, the table, the chair, slightly askew. My pause, it takes me some time to answer you. I like it when you say my name with a Y at the end. And when you come toward me with tender devil eyes and fierce angel lips. When you hold back just long enough to make me want you suddenly and desperately, my heart pounding, breath quickening, until I can strip you and pin you against the wall so I can feel every inch of you against me. I like to push you toward the bed and not make it because you take my nipples hard and my lips harder. Yeah. I like it when you take me, mark me with your teeth, so tomorrow I'll still know I'm yours. I like to strap a dick on you before you turn me over and fuck me until I whimper. Back muscles bunched, sheets gripped, and white-knuckled hands. You know I like it. You know. I like to turn you over and fuck you back and taste you as I lick and lap. Oh, how you feel inside when I can watch you come back, arched hand pushing up on my chest, your hair wild, disheveled body, sweaty and limp-boned. I like your voice rising for the birds and neighbors to hear. I'm just waiting for the chance to find more answers to my fantasies with you. But mostly, I like to want you. Over the plate, the table, and the chair, slightly askew.
Fox Mulder's What Do You Like? From the album Incorrigible and Intimate, written by Fox Mulder. All poems are written and performed by Fox. And I listened to the entire thing. It's fantastic. I do encourage you guys to go grab a copy. It's available in iTunes and in Amazon. Again, that's Fox Smolder. That's FOXSMOULDER. And if you want to get in touch with Fox, go ahead and head on over to foxsmolder.wordpress.com or find them on Facebook. All right, next up, I have the story written by Raziel Moore. Raziel Moore is somebody that I enjoy reading personally, and Big Daddy actually enjoys reading. He, Big Daddy, performed a poem written by Raziel Moore back in our Nine Inch Nails show for New Year's 2013. So if you guys head back through our menu there, you'll find it. It was a fantastic poem. Do you remember the title of it off the top of your head?
Broken.
Duh. Broken. Written by Raziel Moore, not Nine Inch Nails. It was fabulous. And Raziel Moore is an erotica author. He writes for Burning Book Press. I want to read this quote that is under his author page at Burning Book Press because I thought it was so cool. "I am the little devil on your shoulder, stroking your neck with my tail, whispering obscenities into your ear, and looking down your blouse." I love that. I thought that was so cute. So Raziel Moore, yes. You know, I like the stories that bring people together kind of, I think, honestly. You know, we all have our scars and our issues, and it's really nice to find someone that's accepting and appreciates you for what you are and who you are. I really found that Boom was quite uplifting. And he is fantastic, you guys. You've got to check him out. So go find more by him. I'll give you all of his information after this story titled Boom. Mike's philosophy was that if you are going to show something, you want it seen, or at least you don't mind it seen, and that anything you see is fair game to ask questions about. He hadn't always been that way, but life was different now. "Is that some kind of fractal tattoo?" he asked. "My name's Mike." He extended his hand. The woman, seated at the table with some friends, looked from his hand to his face, pausing a beat before shaking it. "It's a scar, actually. Lightning. It's called a Lichtenberg pattern. You can Google it. I'm Rhea." Mike turned her hand in his before releasing it. The scar traced down her neck and arm, almost to her wrist. Another branching of it disappeared below the neckline of her halter top. "Lightning? Holy hell! Did it hurt?" "Excuse me," one of Rhea's companions said. "Is that your business?" She apparently wasn't too pleased with Mike's sudden appearance at what he guessed was a girl's night out. He met her gaze. "No, it's not. But I'd like to ask anyway." He turned back to Rhea, who was watching him. "Honestly, for a second, I thought I was going to blow up," Rhea said, nodding and "it's okay" to her friend. "Unbelievable heat, and everything jerked. Then I woke up in the hospital." The expressions around the table said that not everyone had heard her story. She shrugged. "Then it was like any burn, only it ended up prettier. Did that hurt?" She nodded her head at Mike's right leg, the titanium prosthetic emerging below the knee of his shorts fit into a sneaker matching the one on his left foot. Her indignant companion followed her gaze and gasped, then blushed. Mike smiled. "Oh, hell yes. Worst pain I've ever felt." "That sucks. I'm sorry. Afghanistan?" "Nah, Iraq. IED. Got me sent home last year." "Look, can I steal you from your friends for a few minutes?" He checked his wallet. "I'll buy you all around." pretty forward and smooth back at the table, she said. Is cruising the bar scene your game? They sat at the bar, Mike having traded a pitcher of margaritas and the leers of his own buddies for Rhea's company. He sipped his beer. Nah, no game. Look, I learned last year there may or may not be time to play games. I figured my best chance is to be straight as I know how to be. And what's straight with you? You like scars? Near-death camaraderie? Mike smiled. She was pushing, and he liked that. No, you answered my question and asked a fair one in return. I appreciate that. Rhea sipped her martini and studied him some more. All right, she said. You're right. It's not like I don't know how precious it all is. She smiled. Okay, straight man. What next? I don't know. Let's find out if there's anything besides physical trauma we have in common. All right. You know, I'm not the one who gets hit on in my group, she said. That's Mary or Greta. That's stupid, but I bet I understand. The scar gets in the way? She shrugged. I have an aversion to guys who play games, as you've seen. That shrinks the field to begin with, but probably. Does it bother you? Used to. I used to wear less revealing tops because of it, but I figured, what the hell? Why surprise anyone later? Now, well? Well? People will see beyond it or not. You're kind of doing both. Mike smiled and extended his false leg, tapping to make a metal sound. Well, so are you. Rhea met Mike's eye, then leaned forward and tapped his leg. He felt it against his knee and higher up. It was a good night, a really good night. Mike walked Rhea home. She'd accepted the offer without even a glance at his leg. Three blocks over and two up from his place. She invited him in. I don't do this, you know, she said after he kissed her at the door. I do, or I did twice. Once I wasn't ready. Too soon after coming home, and I wasn't coping well. The other, well, she was okay until the leg came off. He paused. That isn't a challenge, by the way. Mike almost winced right there. No apologies, no hedging, he reminded himself. Rhea chuckled. Don't worry, I just haven't had much opportunity, not since this happened anyway. She pointed to her neck. I haven't had someone outside of my doc and family react to all of it. Doc said it should fade, but I guess I scar easily. It's been 2.5 years. Did you get any nerve damage or anything? Mike traced a finger up her arm, following the branching pattern. The slightly reddened skin of the scar was raised just a fraction. Well, my collarbone right here seems permanently numb, but that's it. Even occasional pain stopped after a year or so. How about you? Rhea's hand found the join of his artificial leg and traced the border of skin and cup with her finger. Nah, not pain. But the missing leg itches like hell sometimes. Phantom leg. And sometimes the other scars.
Other scars?
Well, I almost lost both legs and some other bits. You want to see? They're not awful, I don't think.
Rhea nodded.
Mike chuckled mischievously. I'll show you mine. You show me yours?
Rhea helped Mike down to his boxers. Mike showed her how he unfastened the prosthetic and let her remove the sock. A half dozen thin but definite lines radiated away from where his right foot would have been, on both thighs his midsection, and one partway across his torso. "Wow," she said. Boom. Mike smiled. "Yep, it was that." I know a lot of people have nightmares about this stuff all the time. I still get them every couple of weeks. Used to be more. I talked a lot to my VA therapist. For a guy missing a piece, you sure are put together, Mike. She was looking him up and down as he leaned against her dresser, so he wasn't exactly sure whether she was talking about his head or something else. Either way was okay. His boxers were forming a bit of a tent now. "You're not afraid of eggshells, are you?" "No. As you say, who has the time for that?" Time is better spent on other things. It was one hop to the bed, where he sat down as she slipped her top over her head. He reached to help her undo her belt, but paused to look at the newly revealed pattern of her scar. The branching red traced down her right side, spreading thin tendrils almost to her sternum and belly button before the main trunk of it disappeared below her waist. He let his hand follow it, pulling her pants down so that he could trace it all the way down to her foot. "Lightning goes to ground, huh? Through the most conductive path. I was wet." Mike let his hand slide back up to her hip and brought his other hand to the other side. Rhea's panties were sun yellow, lightning yellow. He leaned forward and kissed the branching pattern over her ribcage, then lower. And now, he looked up at her. She took a deep breath. "I am again. And I just happen to feel a little stormy right now." Rhea leaned forward and circled Mike's cock with her fingers through his boxers. "You could break any moment, I bet." She was smiling. Neither of them cared how corny it sounded. Something was absolutely about to break. "It's been a long time," he said, his throat feeling a little dry. "I hope I remember how." She chuckled. "Me too," nodding at the wrapped condom he held in his hand. "You remember important stuff. The rest, we can wing." She shooed him up the mattress, but didn't let his briefs go with him. Mike watched as she shed her last layers as well. "Inventory," she said as she climbed on the bed and took his left foot in her hands. She found his lowest scar and the notch in his tibia and kissed it. Her lips and then tongue over the divoted bone made him shiver. Rhea moved higher on his leg, tracing the pattern of each remaining scar with fingers or mouth or both. About mid-thigh, with a teasing smile at his erection, she switched legs. Despite a year plus of mental and physical work, Mike found himself holding his breath as she touched, then held his stump. The impressions from the day's wearing of the prosthetic were still fading. She kissed him there, then right at the bottom of it. Mike exhaled, a last tension diffusing through that contact. Rhea's eyes met his, and she hummed and smiled against his skin. The almost ritual mapping of his scars continued up his right leg. Rhea paused at the 2-incher on his upper inner thigh, her glance passing from the scar to his cock, standing at attention only a few finger widths away. "Wow, close," she breathed. "Yes," he said. "There's a lot of ground between loss of leg and loss of life. I was lucky." Mm-hmm. Rhea's agreement was muffled as she fit her lips around the head of his cock. Mike closed his eyes and just felt for a moment. And it was good. So good. But he wanted more. He felt greedy in a way he barely remembered. The good kind of greedy. Being prone on a bed was pretty much an equalizer. When he pulled up on her shoulders, Rhea released him and followed. He drew her down for a kiss and then rolled. Having less leg on one side actually made it more fluid, and Rhea's eyes widened as she found herself under him. He broke the kiss, licking at her lip in departure, and then winked. Inventory. His lips and tongue followed the braille of scar tissue from her neck downward. He made side excursions across smooth skin to nipples and tummy, making her arch against him. At her thigh, one feathered scar pointed in just the right direction. There he broke his trail, sliding his tongue a few last inches before finding Rhea's slit between her parted legs. They sighed in unison as he tasted her, then laughed a little giddily at that mutuality. The last thread of restraint broke, and Mike growled and began to devour her. Gasping, she grabbed his hair with both hands and steered him with wanton authority until her entire body shook with orgasm. After that, well, there are certain positions a missing leg makes more difficult. One or two are actually made easier. But in the end, with Mike filling her deeply, her legs wrapped around him, it didn't matter at all. When Mike came, he cried out, hands digging hard into Rhea's shoulder and hair as he hilted in her. Rhea sighed and shuddered through an after-orgasm as she felt his sheathed cock pulse inside her. At the end of it all, after the last heaving breath, they found themselves staring into each other's still wild eyes. "Wow, boom," she said. "Rhea?" "Hmm? I don't want this to be a one-off. I never did those before. Don't want to now. I have an aversion to single explosive events." Mike liked her sleepy chuckle. "I do too. But you know the odds of being hit twice are..." "But I do want more," he said. "Maybe a lot more." She lifted her head from his shoulder. "And we haven't finished our inventories." "You're right, we haven't." She kissed him. Boom. For Stupid Fish Productions, this is Rose Caraway.
Yeah, you can see that look in my eye. Ain't gonna stop anytime soon. Wrote a whole new book while I cry. Me and my team are flowers set to bloom. Can't stop till we reach the sky. We the type to lay on the clouds, sing to the moon, meet the sun real soon. Our thunder about to boom. Dancing with lightning. For some may seem frightening. We find out. To dance in the lightning.
That was Raziel Moore's story titled Boom, and I loved reading that story. It was so fun. If you would like to find more erotica written by the fabulous Raziel Moore, head on over to burningbookpress.com and just search under the authors tab. He will be right there. He's also available
on Facebook and on Twitter. Go find more by him. If you guys want more poetry from Fox Mulder, head on over to foxmulder.wordpress.com. They're also available on Facebook. Just search Fox Smolder. If you want to head out to San Francisco on October 18th for the Litquake event, I will be there from 6 to 7. I don't recall the address. It's on my website. It'll be in the show notes. So I'd love to see you guys there. It's going to be so much fun. Live reading, I've learned. I dig it. So I do hope to see you guys out there. And of course, as always, if you want more stories narrated by me and you want to help support the Kiss Me Quick's free erotica podcast, please do head over to Amazon, iTunes, or Audible, type in Rose Caraway, and a shit ton of audiobooks will pop right up. Pick one. Any and all will help support the show. And Big Daddy, we appreciate it immensely. So thank you. If you've already bought stuff there, and of course we encourage you to buy more and keep your eyes open, because that Sexy Librarian's Big Book of Erotica is soon to be available there. Plus, I've got Rachel Kramer Bustle's The Big Book of Submission coming soon as well. And my Dirty 30. Dear God, that's our own. Our very first self-published audiobook only featuring 30 plus authors. I couldn't just stick to 30 because the stories were that good. So keep your eyes peeled for that goodness. All right, you guys, I promise that's it. Love ya. See you soon. I'd like to thank the following musical artists: Roulette, Kai Engel. The feature credits song, Dancing with Lightning, Kelly Mays. The Kiss Me Quicks is produced by Big Daddy Dave Caraway. Stupid fish. You know what I hate? Whenever I go to scratch my head and the headphone strap is in the way of the itch, I gotta burrow in to get to it.
What's wrong with you? Is your head made of cheese?
Do you ever do that? No, some days. Do you ever go, I mean, you have your headsets on, it's like part of you, and you go to scratch your ear and you're like, oh fuck, I just freaking sprained my index finger trying to get to my, just a little scratch, it's all, it's freaking workplace injury.